Sam Gum was once just a dream. He says he loves you. He says it with meat. He comes to buy a meat wreath, and he makes a cider out of beef. He's thinking about his meat cape. He says he's waiting for that garbage ape. The meat fairy's coming along. So Heathcliff, won't you play your meat song? Whoa.
Hello, welcome to Meatcast. My name is Nick, and with me as always, Kyle. Kyle, how's it going?
It's going great. Buddy. Nick, how are you?
You didn't let me finish.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't expecting it.
How's it going, buddy?
It's good.
Have you been wheezing the juice?
I've been wheezing the juice.
Let me finish.
You didn't let me finish. I was going to say I've been wheezing the juice.
Okay. All right. Like Pauly Shore?
Yeah, exactly. Wait, that's what you were doing, right?
No.
Oh, sorry. I guess I just got confused. This is something he would say a lot, and it just seemed like you were referencing that.
But who would?
Pauly Shore.
Would say what?
He would call people buddy.
Okay. But surely he wouldn't wheeze the juice, would he?
Oh, he loved to wheeze the juice.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. What did that mean? Do you know? Was it a weed thing?
That's a really good question, because like now I feel like the context of today, it'd be like you'd be talking about like vape juice,
yeah.
But at the time, they didn't have that. So.
Maybe it was bong water. Is bong water like the original vape juice?
I don't know. Maybe. That's a bit of a stretch. What did wheezing the juice mean? Wheeze the juice. Urban Dictionary. I guess it just, okay. It's just from Encino Man.
Okay. But what did he do in Encino
Man? When you drink a beverage right from the dispenser.
What? Like a water fountain?
No, there's this scene in Encino Man where he drinks the Slurpee straight from the machine.
Oh, okay.
That? He's wheezing the juice.
I have to confess, I've never seen Encino Man.
And the store clerk was harshing his grinded.
Is Pauly Shore good? Is he funny?
No.
Oh, okay. This sounds so funny, what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, I guess it is funny. I don't know. It's tough.
Wheezing the juice and harshing your grindage, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Grindage is a kind of a funny way to think, a funny thing to call food.
Oh, that's what that meant?
Yeah, grindage. Oh, okay.
That's good.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I'm being so negative about it, but yeah, it's good. It's good. And he was great in the Goofy movie, you know?
Oh, he was I've never seen a Goofy movie.
It's
either.
The Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
Buddy.
I say buddy, but you got the right
Goofy
idea.
I mainly know him from Son-in-Law, of course.
Sure. That's a weird one to mainly know him from.
And from, I think he was just on MTV a lot, right?
In the Army Now.
I may have seen In the Army Now.
I don't know why. One of these things that just gets burned into your brain is there was, maybe it was like, I want to say it was like a pre-roll on the Austin Powers VHS tape when they were advertising DVD, and it was DVDs, like the concept of DVDs. And Pauly Shore was on it. And he was saying, like, he's like promoting a movie or something. And he's like, check it out on DVD, DVD. Like that. Like, kind of, it was almost like a proto Borat thing.
Wow.
But I think about it all the time. My brother, if I am saying the words DVD to my brother for any reason,
which still happens to this day,
I'll say him, like, so, like, hand me the DVD, DVD. Stupid. What is that?
That's comedy.
You know what? You're right.
I mean, if Pauly Shore decided he was going to do improv at like the theaters
Christ
where we do improv, I feel like he would be a star. He would be the best. He'd be the funniest guy on stage.
Yeah, I mean, he would now. Yeah. I feel like we are entering into an era where people are more valuing like the star power. I feel like, I don't know if you feel this way, but like when we were coming up, it was like, I mean, definitely you had stars, but like we kind of were doing it around the same time. It was all about that ensemble. It was all about, you know, the teams. But I've been on like teams where like late where the refrain has been like, look, if so-and-so's cooking, just let him cook. Like, just get out of the way. Just let him do it.
Interesting.
I don't know. I feel like maybe there's a cultural tide shifting. Clowning, I've talked about clowning before. That seems to really value individual charismatic performers. I don't know why I'm going off on a very sincere analysis of this, but
I think improv always has. I think maybe there aren't, I feel like there aren't enough good improvisers in Austin to support that. At least there weren't when I was taking classes in improv years. Maybe there are now.
That's true. It is like there's like a handful of people that can do that. So maybe it's just sort of as like a everybody sees it and goes like, oh yeah, well, you know, if so-and-so's cooking, let them cook, you know. But it's just those people.
All right. Well, let's get
I'm one of them.
Well, Kyle, let's get into This Week in Heathcliff.
Let's do it.
This week on Heathcliff.
Now, before we get, you're sure you don't want to talk more about improv culture and
specific
trends,
to Austin?
Specific to Austin, Texas. I just want to be sure because we can do that.
I like talking about that stuff, but I think you're in it way more than I am these days. I don't know what's going on, really.
Well, I mean,
you've got all these teams and you're
no, I've got like conservatory two teams. Director. I'm like two teams and you're on one of them. And
wait, which one? Oh, that
Teenage Dirtbag. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yes, I do. See us next Wednesday at 8 p.m. at the Fallout Theater.
That's right. Please.
Okay, well, here we have the comic from April 12th. We have Heathcliff sitting. This is great, actually. Heathcliff is sitting on like a phone wire. Is that what you call it? Electrical wire?
Telephone wire. It could be a power line, I guess.
That's what I'm thinking of. A telephone line. A line, like a power line, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there looking down at a couple of birds that are on the sidewalk. And one of the birds is talking and the bird is saying, whoopsie daisy. So somehow the birds and Heathcliff switched places.
Oh, I did not read it that way at all.
Oh, really? What were you thinking?
I was like, why does Nick like this one so much? I don't understand it. I thought it was like the birds were saying whoopsie daisy because they like, oh no, we've found ourselves in a precarious position.
Oh, maybe.
Heathcliff's got the jump on us. Whoopsie daisy.
But the birds are always there on the
You're right. You're right. I mean, I see it now that you say it, but I did not it did not occur to me to read it that way. But now that you've made that clear to me, I do love this one.
what if you looked up and you realized that I was in your apartment and you were in my apartment.
Looked up.
Yeah. Well, you were staring at the comic.
Like on the computer screen.
Yeah. You looked up at the computer screen. You look in the, cause I'm seeing myself and in my Zoom screen and you and in your Zoom screen. And what if you looked up and all of a sudden we were flipped?
My instinct was to say like, oh, that would be an interesting idea for like a horror short film.
Oh,
but would it, would it actually be that interesting?
The audience probably might not even recognize that anything happened.
Two regular looking apartments, absolutely nothing distinct about them.
You know, we're recording a little later than usual, Kyle.
Yeah, if you sense any punchiness, it's because we're recording at the late hour of 6:30 p.m.
And I just got back from a happy hour.
Oh, so, yeah, okay. You've been wheezing wine. The juice.
Yeah.
You've been harshing some grindage.
Yeah. I wheeze some wine and some sake. So yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
This is This is I'm loose as a goose in a moose. Is that a phrase?
No, Nick. No.
Well, you can't blame me. I'm drunk, Kyle.
I don't blame you. Hey, what is this? The Sloppy Boys podcast? When did I get on that?
We got to get the Sloppy Boys on this show, huh?
We do got to get the Sloppy Boys on this show.
I bet we get one or two of them at least.
Yeah, we've had one on the old podcast, right?
Yeah, that's right. I had Tim Kalpakis on the Garfield show. I should reach out.
Yeah, utilize those connections.
Yeah.
And I do. I am sorry we don't have a guest, because as we are fond of saying, we do like to use the comics to get to know our guests.
That's true. Yeah.
And we won't get to do that this week, which we don't like that. We like to do it. And so when we don't get to do it, it bums us out.
We know so many people. Seems like we should be able to have a guest every week. But the thing is, I just don't think to do it. I just, like everything in my life, I put it off until the last minute.
I don't think to do it, or I do think to do it, and I think, oh, maybe Nick has gotten somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to offer it to somebody, because there's a chance that you have already offered it.
But hey,
to
you can always just send me a text, ask me.
Yeah, maybe. I could do that.
It's also, I don't want to overlap an offer. I also don't want to be rejected, so that's another reason not to.
Oh,
do
I
it.
Don't mind being rejected. That I don't mind. That happens.
Yeah, I guess I don't mind it either.
Constantly, yeah. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to April 13th. So this is one I feel like we've seen before. But so it's a businessman wearing in a suit, carrying a suitcase, munching on a hot dog. He's got a mouthful of hot dog. And then he's standing next to a hot dog vendor. And Heathcliff is pouncing. He's in the air. He's going to attack this hot dog eating businessman. And the hot dog vendor is saying he likes hot dogs too.
Have we seen it before, or does this just combine elements that we've seen before?
It's
hard to tell sometimes.
So how would you read this, Kyle? How would you read this caption?
He likes hot dogs too.
Yeah, it's he likes hot dogs too. Yeah,
right.
Because I read it first. He likes hot dogs too, as though he likes other things.
What's the first thing that he? You know what I mean? Like, is there something just off frame? Like, oh, he just attacked a quiche. You know,
from the quiche cart.
From the quiche cart. No, I think it's he likes hot dogs too. You aren't so different from Heathcliff.
What's on your hot dog?
Well,
have we talked about this before?
Nothing at the moment. I wish I had one. I'm a little hungry.
Actually, I know we talked about this earlier, didn't we?
Did we? On the show, have we talked about our hot dog?
I mean, it really makes sense. There's hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, odds are
a lot of these Heathcliff comic strips.
I can't recall exactly. Well, for all of our new listeners, I like one of two things. I either like just give me a plain hot dog with mustard, or I'll like a chili cheese hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
Anything other than that, not really interested.
Oh, really?
In anything going on there. All that Chicago bullshit, get it out of there.
Because I remembered that I said I like mayonnaise and jalapenos.
Jesus Christ.
And then our guest said that was a Sonoran hot dog. But I think
the mayonnaise thing. I've heard that before.
But I think maybe there's more that actually goes into a Sonoran hot dog. Mm-hmm. Let's see, the Sonoran hot dog. It's in the bolillo style bun. Oh, wait. Wrapped in bacon. Yeah. And then topped with all kinds of condiments, but often including mayo and jalapeno. Mm.
That sounds, I'm just not the biggest fan of mayo, you know. I'm coming around on it, but it took me a very long time. I didn't start eating mayonnaise with any kind of, not regularity, but like without disgust until like this year.
What about an aioli? Do you like an aioli?
Yeah, I love an aioli.
I only want to be with you. Remember Eating the Blowfish? I don't want to be with you.
You and me, we're both basically mayonnaise. Oh, I only want to be with you is so good.
That could be a Weird Al thing, right?
We have to get you to some sort of ad agency to pitch this right away.
To like the aioli companies?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, like whatever condiment company. Does Heinz, Hellman's, you know, Duke's. If Duke's makes an aioli, you got your jingle.
I didn't realize. I really thought aioli was just mayo.
Yeah, it really pretty much is.
This says aioli is made from garlic and olive oil, while mayo is made from egg yolks and canola oil.
Mm.
So pretty different. No egg in aioli. So that surprises me, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised. But I mean, that would explain why I like aioli and don't like mayonnaise. Although, again, I'm coming around on mayonnaise.
Yeah,
I have to stop saying I don't like mayonnaise because it's not entirely true anymore. And I hate to lie to people, you know. Hey, Nick, look at this. Even though we don't have a guest to get to know, we're getting to know ourselves.
Getting to know each other, yes.
We're getting to know each other. And you know what? I like to do that.
Yeah.
I like to do that. Hey, I got a little bit of a punch up on this one, maybe.
Oh, wow. Let me see if I still have the theme. I hope I didn't throw it away.
Throw it away? What? That's our most popular segment.
All right. Here.
Punch it up. Kyle's Corner. Punch it up.
Now, don't get mad at me, okay? But I thought it might be funny if the caption said, "Hey, protect your wiener."
Now, is that a pun?
Come on.
Or is it just a,
come on.
Like, is it just like the idea that he might be going toward one wiener or the other?
I guess he could read it either way.
Right. But I'm saying, is there a pun there? Or is it just...
Is there? I don't know.
Okay.
Might be.
Okay. Could be a pun. All right.
Hey, protect your wiener. I don't know. It's a little blue for Heathcliff, but could be fun. Might be a path you might want to go down.
No, I think that's a good one. Protect your wiener.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if I have a punch up. Maybe it's like he's going for the briefcase. Not necessarily.
That got me. That was a real earnest. I think because I was so heavily in my head thinking like Nick's gonna come along on this game of the wiener pun with me. And yeah, all right, I'll admit it was a wiener pun.
Okay, no.
that you zagged on me. You made it about the briefcase.
I got the double entendre, but I was asking, is protect your wiener, is that something people say? Or is protect your something? Is that something? Is that part of pun?
I'm always saying protect your wiener.
Okay,
now, right. I don't know if people are saying it. I can't be keeping up with all the sayings people are talking about these days. But for me, I'm always telling my friends, hey, look out. Protect your wiener.
I hope you wore a jock strap. Whenever I'm eating a hot dog, I wear a jock strap. Wait, not a jock, a cup. That's something.
Well, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, the jock strap is just more of a structural,
yeah,
you know, keeping things in place. The cup is what does the actual protection.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I've never worn either.
Well, I wore a cup when I was a kid doing Taekwondo.
Really? For Taekwondo?
I was fascinated with it. You know, I mean, like, I was whatever, like, I must have been 7, maybe, something like that. And I just was like, this is the funniest thing in the world to me.
Never seen. I don't think I've seen one in person.
I mean, you know, it's just like a hard piece of plastic.
All right,
Nick, you got to try it. Wear one in your next improv show, and then tell all of your scene partners, like, "Hey, come on, kick me in the nuts."
Did you have people kick you in the nuts when you were in Taekwondo class?
Yeah, I asked people to do it to test it out. I was like, "This is amazing,"
and it worked.
Yeah,
there was no like there was no seepage or.
It doesn't feel good, you know. Okay. It someone is still hitting you, but. Yeah, that particular form of pain that I think many in our audience will be familiar with is mitigated.
Do you think our audience is mostly male?
I think that's probably safe to assume. Wish that were not the case, but you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. I think I was going to say podcasts are probably, fandom is probably mostly male, but then I realized there are definitely a lot of podcasts that are aimed at women.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
And it does seem like, true crime podcasts seem to be big with women.
Yeah. Are you suggesting we add a true crime element to our, no, when like we keep, no, not necessarily a pivot, just sort of a, like, you know how like entertainment company, a media company will like add a branch or add a different kind of arm of the company. Be like, this is, we do true crime over here.
We could do like a segment at the end of the show where we solve a crime.
That sounds great. Let's do it. Let's do it on this episode.
Okay. Well, here we have the April 15th comic. And Kyle, this is the beginning of Sculpture Week. I don't know if you realize this.
I did. Week. Yeah, I'm glad you called it out. I was noting that with interest. Very exciting.
So here we have Heathcliff aboard a ship or a boat. I guess it's more of a boat.
Yeah.
And there's a classic boatman sailor standing next to Heathcliff wearing a red turtleneck shirt turtleneck sweater with a beard and a sort of a sailor hat.
Sort of Ahab-esque beard.
Yes. And they're coming up toward an island with four little Jimmy sculptures. They're sort of Jimmy head with a long neck underneath it. They're made of stone, I suppose. They're sticking out of the land, the island they're coming upon. And the sailor man is saying, No one visits Jimmy Island.
Oh, that's an interesting take on it.
How would you say it?
No. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, you got to give it a voice, I guess.
Yeah, it needs a little bit of an old salty dog semen.
No
voice.
One visits Jimmy Island. No.
Oh, he's Irish.
He's Irish.
Okay. No. Yeah. I think yours is maybe a little bit more ominous. I was thinking it more like resigned, a typical Jimmy thing. Like, no one visits Jimmy Island.
Yeah,
no one wants to come here. Or maybe he's like, that's like his job, is like operating like a ferry to Jimmy Island. Yeah, and he's like, no one wants to visit Jimmy Island.
Yeah, that's good,
right?
Yeah,
the lore implications of this are staggering.
Like, who made these? Who made these?
And I suppose same thing for Easter Island. We don't know who made them. We don't know when they made them. We don't know why they made them. Same thing with Jimmy Island. But I would like to know. I do hope in future comics we learn a little bit more about the origins of Jimmy Island. Of Jimmy. And also, does this mean that Jimmy is a species or a people? He's not a frog. He's a Jimmy.
I think my best guess is that Heathcliff made these statues like within the last week or so.
Okay. Interesting. And yet the sea captain is familiar with this.
Yeah, and he's letting Heathcliff know. Telling it to Heathcliff. It's not working out well.
Okay. So they're in this together. They're like in business.
Yeah.
And he's saying to Heathcliff, no one's coming here.
This isn't working.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's worried if the check is going to bounce, I think.
Oh, yeah, sure. He quit his other job. Wailing.
Or scheduling tours to Garbage Ape Island.
Yeah. All right. That does. We have seen that before, right?
Have we? Garbage Ape Island?
There was a giant Garbage Ape Easter Island head, right? At some point?
Well, that might have been when they were shooting the Garbage Ape movie.
Yes. Yeah. So it wasn't an island, but we have seen this.
A giant Garbage Ape statue. Yeah.
Interesting.
All right.
Very interesting.
This was a very interesting comic strip, I thought. Genuinely, I thought it was a wild swing.
Yeah, it is a bold bold direction for the Jimmy saga.
Okay. Let's move on to April 16th.
The Jimmy IP.
Yeah. So Heathcliff is at the Museum of Art, I guess. He's walking out of the room that we're sort of paying attention to. He's discreetly walking out. Meanwhile, a man in a suit and a security guard are looking at a sculpture. I think it's supposed to be a feather. The
it's very security, abstract.
Yeah, very abstract. Security guard is saying, "Bird in space has bite marks on it." Mm. So Heathcliff ate this sculpture. This, I think it's supposed to be a feather.
Well, he tried to eat it. He put bite marks on it.
A real sculpture, by the way.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, bird in space.
Well, I'll be.
Let's see. At the Guggenheim, Constantine Brancusi.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Much more impressive. I mean, no shots, Peter, but I mean, you did capture it fairly well, but, you know, looking at the thing, it's nice. Polished brass.
Doesn't say what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, why don't they tell you what it's supposed to be?
Maybe it truly is a bird in space.
What the heck even is this thing?
Oh, I guess it's a... Anyway, I can't just read this Guggenheim.
I mean, you could.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Okay. Kyle, what's your favorite piece of art?
Oh, wow. I mean, we're talking like visual fine art. We're talking like visual art. Gosh, I could name so many of ones that I love and am familiar with. I mean, earnestly, I do like Guernica.
Mm.
You know Guernica?
Yeah. I think I saw Guernica in person.
I've never seen it in person. I would love to see it in person. I think it's really, really striking. Yeah, I like Guernica a lot. What about you?
I don't know.
All right, so you threw me out on a limb, dared me to name one piece of art.
I always
absolutely crushed it.
I always like Van Gogh, so maybe Starry Night.
Yeah, Starry Night's nice. If you like calendars.
Yeah. Yeah, Guernica's wouldn't fit on a calendar, I guess. Unless it was like
big,
the whole year.
It's too big. It's too big.
I guess, yeah, started in January. Where would you wrap it up if you started with Guernica in January? Like, you think I'd go all the way through June?
Yeah, I think it would at least go through June.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, a Starry Night's a whole month, and Guernica's got to be at least 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I will say this, comparing the two, Starry Night, a lot more colorful. Guernica, black and white.
That's true.
Why? I don't know what Picasso was thinking. Throw a little color in there.
Yeah. Van Gogh. You know, the thing about Van Gogh is the guy had one ear.
That is the thing about him. That's true. If I know one thing about Van Gogh.
And I do.
Did you go to one of the, I went to one of those like shitty, like Van Gogh installations. Do you know what I'm talking about? That are just basically like, museum? They're like, no, they're not museums. They're like these traveling art shows, but they basically exist to like get Instagram pictures.
Right. Okay. I've never been to any of those, but I know
they have none of the actual art. It just is like, you know, prints of Van Gogh stuff. And like, there was this.
Oh, something happened with Kyle over here. His microphone came unplugged. Okay. Well, now it's not my time to shine. I can sing. And okay. Like, it sounds like Kyle's back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My goddamn cat unplugged my microphone. Yeah. He's over there. He's been, I don't know what his problem is lately. This guy, I'll be sitting at my desk. He's just trying to climb me. Get up here.
Oh.
He's been real clingy.
No.
Anyway.
My dog just sleeps all day these days.
Yeah.
I think she's hit that age where she's just like, she used to like bother me during the day. But now it's like, we go for a walk in the morning and she's good until like 4 p.m. Just happy to just sleep. Unless I'm making food, then she comes out to smell it.
And to I wish this guy would just sleep. Oh man. Every time I get on a call, he's just scratching the wall, meowing. You probably hear him in the background here. I love him though, but he's got to chill. Anyway, whatever. I was talking about the dumb Van Gogh exhibit. Yeah, I went there on a date and it was stupid.
Did you take pictures?
Yeah, of course. You know, that was what the point of it was to get pictures in the place. They take you this big room at the end that's like, they project Starry Night all over the walls. And you're like, it's like you're inside Starry Night.
Did it feel like that at all?
No. I felt like I was inside a screensaver. It was really dumb. And they also had like a lot of misspellings. Like all of the, they would have like, you know, big placards printed up that have like all these biographical facts about Van Gogh. And there is just riddled with spelling mistakes. This thing, they put it together in 5 minutes. It's a cash grab.
Yeah, I stay away from those things, Kyle, personally. But hey, more power to you. You like to do it for the gram. That's what you're always saying.
I'm always saying do it for the gram.
All right, April 17th. Heathcliff is chiseling a robot statue, robot sculpture, I guess. He's standing on the pedestal of the sculpture's position. And I should say the robot's kind of has one hand up near his chin as though he's about to formulate a thought. And he's got a brown leaf over his midsection.
Over his
exactly where the cup might go. In the background, Iggy and Grandpa Nutmeg are standing in the doorway, and Iggy is saying, "Grandma disapproves of his robot nudes." So, I mean, I don't blame her.
I don't blame her. This is very lewd. Especially in my house. Get this smut out of here.
The implication is that Grandma insisted that he put the leaf over the robot hog.
I think so. Yeah.
In the past, we've seen robot news, and they are essentially there's nothing going on there, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. We hadn't seen the leaf before, have we?
No, I think
not in my memory.
Yeah, it's just like sort of a bare space.
That is interesting. Do you think? Okay, so this I think is an interesting comedic question. does it read funnier with the leaf than without? Because do you see what I'm saying? Because like the leaf is like obviously funny. That's been a comedic trope for, you know, anybody does like Adam and Eve in a sketch or something. It's the leaves. It's funny.
I mean, you left off the funniest choice, which is just a big robot penis.
Yeah, well, obviously that would be funniest. If only America's newspapers would allow Peter to do what he surely is his first instinct, which is
I wonder
to draw.
If Peter draws like 30 Heathcliffs just for himself.
I mean, wouldn't you? I would. I probably
if I
would.
Could do that.
If I had the skill, I would be drawn such filth.
Hey, John, Grandma and Grandpa Nutmeg getting down. Grandpa Nutmeg going down on Grandma Nutmeg.
No, we don't need to go through a list of all of them.
That's the main
Heathcliff and Sonia having a little romp with Spike.
Oh wow, a threesome.
Yeah.
Interspecies threesome.
Peter, yeah, well, let us know. We really want to know if you we won't tell anybody, we'll keep it secret. We will not talk about it on the podcast ever again. But we do just want to know, do you draw? Do you draw? Nude or lewd Heathcliffs. Oh, what are we doing? Nick's drunk. I don't have an excuse.
All right, well, let's move on to.
No, I want to keep talking. I want to keep talking about that.
April 18th, Heathcliff is curled up, cute as a button, taking a nap. In the middle of the floor, right behind him in the corner of the room, is a giant Heathcliff bust. Sort of Heathcliff looking like he's got one over on you. He's looking kind of a little, I guess, smug would be the word that I typically use that. But it's just his upper chest and his face.
A bust.
Yes, a bust, exactly. A giant bust, though. The size of two men.
Easter Island head-esque.
Yeah, but bigger.
But certainly bigger.
I'd say, what, maybe 18 feet tall, something like that? No, not that.
No. It's a little bit taller than the doorway.
10 feet tall, 12 feet tall, something like that.
Yeah, I would say maximum 10, probably.
Okay, 10 feet tall. In the background, Heathcliff, or Grandma Nutmeg and her friend are standing in the doorway, and Grandma Nutmeg is saying, "That's his favorite spot."
Yep. I love it.
Yeah. So do you think this has always been here in this room and we just haven't seen this particular corner of the room?
Yeah. I mean, presumably because it's his favorite spot. So he must go there all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just was an angle of the house that we hadn't seen yet.
Yeah.
Nick, would you have any art of yourself in your house? If you had art of yourself.
Oh boy. If I had art of myself, maybe if I had like a picture of, you know, me and some other people or me and my dog or something.
Like a portrait.
Oh, you're talking strictly painting or.
I'm talking like fine art.
Photography is.
Yeah.
Is
people. Art lots. Well. That's not uncommon to have a picture of yourself in your house. I mean, not solo, but. Although that'd be funny if I just had like a gallery wall. That honestly would be a great bit.
Of like you did a headshot session and you just got all the different poses.
Oh yeah. I guess that's the next logical question am I building the gallery wall out of one session? So it's all just different poses. In the same kind of, or is it funnier if it's just like me throughout history? It's just like every photo that I've ever appeared in, printed out and framed and hung up on the wall. I think that's funnier.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know. I think it would be funny if we had. Listen, maybe that would be weirder, I guess.
They're both funny. Yeah. We don't, you know, we're splitting hairs here. They're both hysterical.
Can you split a hair? I guess you can, right? I can't imagine.
People do it all the time.
Is that what a split end is?
I mean, it's the end. It's the beginning of one. It's the beginning of a split hair.
A split end?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a hair that's
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
Why? You don't have split ends?
No, I'm moisturizing the heck out of this.
That's how that happened. Okay.
Yeah.
I've always heard about split ends.
I'm conditioning.
Exactly no one there.
A little argan oil in there. We've talked about before. I'm going argan oil now.
That's right. I got to get some of that. I bought some dry shampoo. Kyle, did you know this is dry shampoo? It's liquid.
It's like a spray though, right?
Yeah, I was expecting some powder to show up. It's like a can of liquid that you spray.
What are you, a barrister? you dump a bunch of powder up to your head.
This stuff, I think you should call it wet shampoo. It's like wetter than normal shampoo.
Well, what would you call normal shampoo?
You could call that shampoo. Shampoo and wet shampoo.
But it's but when it comes out of the can, it's I guess it's not dry, but it's, you know, I don't know. I gotta tell you, I'm not bothered by it. What are the benefits of using a dry shampoo?
Well, you don't have to wet your hair like with water. Oh, you just rub it into your hair.
Yeah. I don't like that. I don't trust that one bit.
Well, the idea is, Kyle, you're not
the water does most of the work.
You're not supposed to be shampooing your hair every day, is the thing.
Well, no, you don't have to, you know, put shampoo in it, wet or dry, normal style shampoo. You don't have to do that every day. Classic. I don't. I do like every other day. I'll like shampoo my hair and then it's just a rinse.
Yeah.
But if I go in more than that,
why I bought it, like what got me to buying dry shampoo.
I get it. I can see it happen. I've been where you're just like, you hear about it.
Yeah.
So, like somebody says out, the word dry, the phrase dry shampoo to you, and you're like, what's going on there? Let me spend $8, $7.
I bought three bottles.
Christ, Nick, no.
I'm all in on dry
you
shampoo
are
now.
Pot committed.
It was like a three pack. And so I was like, well, works out. Cheaper per bottle this
app is better. It's I save a dollar. Assuming you love it, you save a dollar.
All right, Kyle. Well, it's that time of the program where we look at a painting and describe it. So this week we're gonna look at Starry Night.
Well, I thought we were gonna solve a crime.
Oh yeah. I don't want to talk about murders or anything like that.
All right. Well, stay tuned. I'll be putting my midweek solo episode up in the feed. That'll be hitting your feeds on Monday. I will solo solve a crime.
Okay.
And I won't go anywhere to do it. I'm not going to do any investigating. I'm not going to, you know, doing any kind of Sherlock Holmes stuff. I'm not walking around with a magnifying glass.
You'll read like a Wikipedia though, right?
I'll read a Wikipedia page and I'll tell you what I think happened.
Okay, so this is Starry Night. So we see a moon in the right corner and then a bunch of stars sort of on the...
Minute. Are they stars? These things don't look like any stars I've seen.
Well, Van Gogh is very expressive with his paintings. And so I guess they're like expressing the turbulence in his mind.
What the hell?
Well, there's a lot of stars up the this top of the
sounds,
painting.
Sounds and like then, this guy was wheezing the juice.
He was the original G-Sweezer. Bingo was the original G-Sweezer. But yeah, we see like a village and sort of next to like a mountain or a hill. And then this starry night above. And in the foreground, there's a giant tree that sort of like looks like almost like a flame, but green.
Mm.
And it's mm-hmm. night. You can tell it's night because it's blue. Now, oddly, there's no black circle around the sun.
For those of you out there who've never seen Starry Night before, if that's possible, I really would love to see like you drawing it from Nick's description just now. Before you look it up.
I'll add the brush strokes all around the stars and everything. The strokes are very clear, like clearly defined and
unbelievable strokes.
They sort of look like almost like a wind is blowing through everything, and there's sort of energy all around everything in the night sky.
This is really great. What if we blew this up to, you know, 100 times its size and you could step inside it? and we added shitty motion graphics to it, so everything's swirling around. What if we did that?
Yeah, I'd love to take a picture there.
I took a bunch. It was like a fourth date or something. Ugh.
Very impressionistic, this.
Nick, is it impressionistic? Is it expressionistic?
What? I thought it was expressionistic first, but it turns out it's impressionist.
Yeah, impressionistic is like in the same way that you know a person impersonating like Christopher Walken is like, I know it's not him, but this is what I think he sounds like. I'm showing you, I'm exaggerating the things we all know about Christopher Walken's voice to do an impression of him. You're I understand everything what? Through the comedic, through the comedy ideas. So let's you gotta, yeah.
I'm going to try to see if I can summarize what impressionism is based on.
Great.
This Wikipedia. Okay. Oh, boy. Okay.
This is a great, like, case for AI. Let's let a human being read an entire Wikipedia page and see how well he can actually summarize it.
Yeah, let's just see. Okay.
Take it away, Nick.
A style or movement in painting originating in France in the 1860s, characterized by concern.
You're just reading it. You're just
reading. Now I'm just reading the dictionary definition. With depicting the visual impression of the moment, especially in terms of the shifting effect of light and color. Okay. Mm.
All right. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so it's in motion, I guess. It looks like a living, breathing starry night.
Oh, you know, a piece of art I forgot that I really liked up there for me with Guernica. Piss Christ.
Piss Christ.
You know about Piss Christ?
I don't think so.
You don't know, you really don't know about Piss Christ? That's not a joke. That's a real thing.
No, okay, it's a 1987 photograph.
Yeah, it's a photograph of a crucifix in a jar of piss.
Oh.
And this was a famously controversial piece of art because it was partially funded by the NEA. The National Endowment for the Arts, the government funded it.
Because I was going to say, this happened in 1987. I thought that was a little too late for anybody to care about this.
Well, I remember like hearing about it maybe in college. I mean, if it was in 87, I wasn't hearing about it as a one-year-old, but like, you know, it was like a cultural thing. I feel like it came up like every presidential election for the next like 10 years or something, just like once, it'd be like one debate question. It'd be like, what are you going to do about the runaway NEA? Would you pull their funding? And then they would maybe not directly say piss Christ, but they would talk about, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, well, I think it's cool that our government gave money for that. Legit, no joke. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And we should do more of that.
Yeah. More piss Christ, more Starry Nights, more Heathcliff nudes. Let's get the government funding at all.
Let's get the government funding at all. Just the nastiest, gnarliest stuff that we could convince them to give us money for.
Maybe for the, let's fund the show too. Fund the meat cast.
Yeah, while you're at it, yeah, throw us a couple bones. We're nasty. You want to fund some nasty art? Fund this show.
Yeah. Well, we can. We could be like peeing while we're doing the show. Is that what they like?
Yeah. 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 What if we did? What if we sold some merch that is like peeing Calvin, but it was Heathcliff peeing on a crucifix? Do you think Peter would be okay with that?
He probably draws that in his spare time anyway. All right.
Oh. Well,
until next time, that bothers me.